And welcome to the Ashley Webster Experience. Today we have a very special guest. I know I say that every time, but this time I really mean it. His name is Enes Kanter. He's a star in the National Basketball Association, NBA star, just recently signed with the Boston Celtics, but he's played all around this country. He's a fascinating guy. Enes, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Listen, first off, before we get into current day stuff, I just want to go back. You're Turkish.
I'm Turkish, yes.
You're actually born in Switzerland.
I'm born in Switzerland because my dad was doing his master in Switzerland. So that's where I'm born. I stayed there 9 months, then I moved back to Turkey.
But you have a Swiss passport?
I wish. Nope. I wish I did.
They're tough, the Swiss, aren't they? They don't give those things away very easily.
Yeah.
All right, so you grow up in Turkey. How tall were you as a young kid? You're now, what, 6'11"?
I am almost 7 foot.
Almost 7 foot?
Yeah, with shoes, 7 foot. We played a basketball with the shoes on, so I'll say
okay.
7 foot.
Seven foot.
Yeah.
Now, were you just enormously tall at a young age?
I was always the tallest one in my class. You know, always the tallest one. You know, I was actually really good at soccer, not basketball.
Good man. I'm glad to hear
that. I love
that.
Soccer. I don't.
Yeah.
Like,
we'll get into that.
We'll get into that later.
Yep. Galatasaray. so you're a tall kid. Everyone says, God, you'd be great in basketball. Was it just a natural progression for you?
It was now. Well, actually, my family didn't want me to play basketball. They were all about education. But I wanted to go to school and play basketball at the same time. So I wanted to do both. So that's why I'm like, you know what, Dad? I understand schoolworks are so important, but I want to play basketball at the same time.
Well, how big was it when you were growing up? Was it as popular as it is now?
Well, now it's more popular because we actually had a world championship in 2010. Mm. We actually played the finals against America and we lost.
Oh.
Yeah, they were really good. But then after that, it got more popular, more popular every year.
So I also read about you, Enes, that you could have stayed in Turkey. You were offered professional contracts. I think it was Olympiakos was one, and Fenerbahce another one, but you said no. I want to go to the U.S.
Well, the reason is, like I said again, in Turkey you cannot do both. You have to pick either education or basketball, and so that's why I wanted to come here, go to college, and play basketball at the same time. And the other reason was my old club team. Fenerbahce was offering me lots of monies, but I wanted to become an NBA player as early as I can. So that's why I'm like, you know what?
And you were young then. You were like 17?
Yes, 17, 16.
Decision. And they were throwing some big money at
16.
You.
16. Oh, I know. I mean, people are like, hey, take this money and your life is set and your family's life is set. But I'm like, you know what? I got bigger dreams. So that's why I turned down a lot of money. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go to NBA.
That's impressive. So you come to America. You'd go to, I'm assuming you went to a prep school here, right?
Yes.
And then you ended up doing a year at the University of Kentucky.
Kentucky, yep.
But you never played a game.
I never did. So that's why, the reason why, just when I left the club team, the Turkish club team, they got very mad and angry at me. So that's why they sent bank statements to NCAA, and they said he's professional. Don't let him play.
They sabotaged you.
Oh yeah, they did.
That's incredible.
And I actually
mean.
Couldn't even play high school because I mean I had a
wow.
Well, in Europe, people started like getting paid when they're like 14, 15 years old.
Yeah. Mm.
So I couldn't play high school, couldn't play college. They actually made me assistant coach. So because NCAA said you cannot even practice with the team anymore.
Oh, my
gosh.
So they made my assistant coach so I can practice with the team.
Is it about now that you're saying, why did I come to the United States?
It was very frustrating because, like, think about you turning down $1 million to just come here play NCAA basketball. And when they say no, you're like, are you kidding me?
Well, it worked out in the end, though. Let's be honest. You were third overall pick, I think, in the, 2011?
Yep.
You were picked up by the Utah Jazz.
Yes.
Had you ever been to Utah before then?
Never heard of Utah before. Well, the crazy thing was, so no high school and no college. And once I got drafted by Utah Jazz, there was a lockout.
Mm. Oh, you had the strike.
So no high school, no college, and no NBA. I was going crazy. I'm like, am I ever going to get to play basketball ever in America?
That is snake bit.
It was very frustrating. It was very frustrating.
But you hung in there, and eventually you start playing for the Jazz. How was that experience?
It was good. It was like a very quiet town, of course.
Mm.
And people were very nice, and everything was closed early. And no Starbucks. Wow. I stayed there for 3.5 years. Really? I only saw once because the Mormons don't drink coffee or they don't use caffeine. So like my 3.5 years experience, I only saw one Starbucks. That's
Man.
It.
Man.
So, okay. So you do well there. Then where do you go?
Then I signed with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
The Oklahoma? Yeah, you were traded. And that's they were a serious team. I mean,
very
good.
Serious team, yes.
And you, Oklahoma. Boy, you go from Utah to Oklahoma. Yes. It's quite an experience.
So Kentucky, well, I'm
Kentucky,
actually,
of course.
I'm actually trying to learn a language, right? Because my English wasn't that good the first time I came here. So I went to Simi Valley. I learned English a little bit. And then I went to Kentucky. I was like, what are people are saying? Because the accent was so weird.
Hey, listen, I'm English and I lived in Tennessee. I had a hard time too.
So I was so hard time to adjust in English. And then I went to Utah. Yep. And Oklahoma, it's always small towns. I'm like, I guess. I mean, it's cool.
Did you look? Did you watch a lot of TV?
So when I was in college, it's so funny. When I was in college, right, I asked one of my friends, like, where can I learn the street language? You know, because like in Turkey, they were teaching us English, but like it wasn't like a talking, like, speaking language. But so I asked my friend. He told me to watch Jersey Shore. He told me so. I started watching Mark the Situation, Vini, or Spook This, all that Jay Wow. And I actually got cut up. I'm like, oh my God, this is so crazy.
That's how I grew up too, believe it or not.
That's all I can say is, oh boy, of all the programs you could have picked.
He told me Jersey Shore. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll watch it. And I started watching it. Addicted to Jersey Shore, just like was waiting
addicted
for it
to
watch.
Addicted to that GTL life, right?
That's absolutely mortifying, Ennis. But anyway, we'll move on. So you enjoyed your time at Oklahoma. Then I think from Oklahoma you were traded to the Knicks.
The Knicks, yep.
So you go from small town, reasonably small town to New York. What was that like?
It was amazing. I mean, I always wanted to play for a big city. And then New York is an international city. And then there's a lot of Turkish restaurants here and big Turkish communities. So right. I was so happy about it. And, you know, it doesn't matter who you play for. You can never beat the MSG. MSG definitely, like,
there's something about it.
Whichever player comes to MSG, they always make sure they have a fresh haircut, fresh kicks. They always make sure they look good, new clothes. Because MSG is like the Mecca.
What's the New York crowd like?
Well, there's
are
a lot
tough?
Of tourists. Oh, they are tough. They are very tough. I mean, our team wasn't the best team.
Right.
So there was many times they were booing us. So I'm like, because I never see that anywhere before. I'm like, man, they're booing their own players.
The Bronx cheer.
Yes.
Yeah, it's tough.
Like, that is tough.
But they still sell out.
Oh, yeah. Every game sell out.
And you get celebs hanging out there, too.
Some games, I literally stopped watching the game. I'm like, okay, which celebrity came this time? Shakira, Jimmy Fallon, this guy, that guy. I'm like, this is so amazing. Because I never see it. Trust me, there is no celebrity comes to OKC games or games. So I was like, man, this is so amazing.
So you play in the Knicks for a while, then you get moved to the Portland Trailblazers.
Yes.
So you go to the other coast again. You go all the way out to the West Coast.
Chance to sign with either Lakers or Portland. I actually wanted to sign with Lakers because it's LA, city, play with LeBron.
Yeah.
But my agent told me, hey, I think Portland is a better situation. Like, okay, sure. Only thing I knew about the Portland was the Wooded Donuts. I always remember my rookie year, I was bringing donuts for my teammates, and this cab driver told me they made a Wooded Donut. They made a donut from a cough medicine.
Oh,
I swear.
No.
I swear. They made a donut from a cough medicine, and they're going to travel for that. I'm like, what?
Oh, my God.
I was like, take me that place. And then I saw all, like, the weird-looking donuts. They looked delicious, but that's what I'm telling you about it.
Well, you guys had a good run last year.
Yeah.
You
got that shot that Damian Lillard had. Yeah. Iconic.
Yes. Yeah. And we actually, last time they made the Western Conference Finals, it was 2000. Now, 19 years later, we made the Western Conference
Fantastic.
Finals. And they were going crazy. And it was it meant a lot to the city because a year before they lost Paul Allen, and so that finals was meant a lot to the city.
But is it hard going from one team that you spent the off season with, you know, training camp, coming into the season, spend the beginning of the season with, and then
switching to a different team in the middle. How hard is that? Yeah.
It's very hard because, like, once, I mean, you have to get to adjust to everything, the organization, the coaches, the players, new place, new sets. I mean, you got to, you know, find a place to stay. I mean, I stayed in a hotel for 70 days straight.
Ugh.
It was tough.
That's not good.
It was tough.
So so now you're going to have to do it all again because you just signed a two-year contract in July with the Boston Celtics.
I have some time. I'm going to go there early, actually.
Yeah.
I'm going to go there actually, try to find like a place to stay and stuff.
So when you do that, you're looking for something close to the stadium you're going to be playing in? I mean, I'm just always interested.
Yeah. Actually, we have like a really close, we have like some apartments really close to the practice facility.
Okay.
So that's where I'm going to go, I guess.
Good. How's your Irish?
Not that good, but I don't know a lot of Irish.
You think they're mean here? Wait until you go to Boston.
Oh, really?
That's what
I heard. Yeah, they do. So, when I was in Portland, we actually played against Boston at Boston.
Yeah.
And we're up by like 30 something, and then they was like, boom, they're on team two. And I'm like, I'm used to this. But
so you've been in the league for a while. Is it everything that you thought it would be when you first came here as a teenager?
Well, I think I didn't know it was going to be this hard. All the traveling part, taking care of your body and everything, because sometimes we go to sleep like 3-4 a.m. Mm. and right after the game. And then you have to wake up the next day and play another game.
Mm.
Back-to-back games are the toughest. But traveling, the time difference, everything, it's very rough. But I think, like, once you go, once you step on that court, you don't think about anything. You just think about going out and having fun with your teammates.
So you're a good player because you don't go out, you don't go partying.
I try to be special during the season. I'm not going to give any name. We're just talking about it.
All right.
I have a lot of teammates coming to the bus the next day, can hardly walk.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, and they're going to play a game that night. I'm like, I was just looking. I'm like, are you kidding me? And
how worried were you?
Five. He was a starting five. Oh. Like, he was one of our, like, star player. And I'm like, come on, man. You cannot be. I understand. Do whatever you want during the off season, but like when the season starts, you gotta stay focused.
We're a team. We should all be in it together. Mm-hmm. All right, we're gonna change gears completely, Ennis, because you know you've kind of taken on a political role as well. And the strange thing is you're from Turkey, but you're kind of a man without a country right now. Yeah. Can you kind of explain how that happened? Because the Turkish president Erdogan is not a big fan of yours.
No, not really. But so they actually revoked my passport 3 years ago.
They revoked it.
I don't have a passport right now. Well, a lot of people are asking me, where are you from? I'm like, man, what can I tell them? I don't know. But well, my family's still there, so I still say I'm from Turkey and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like a lot of people say, man, you have no home. You're literally homeless.
So this is because you, it's the Gulen movement. Is that what it is? The Gulen movement, which is actually is a movement it's a Turkish, how would you describe him? An imam, maybe?
I will say a spiritual leader.
Yeah, spiritual leader.
Who focuses on, secular education.
Yeah, peace.
Peace.
Civility.
Yes.
And just kind of a kind of gentler
Poverty
place.
Poverty alleviation.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, the one thing, so whenever, like, I'll describe this. Well, he believes that we have lots of problems going up in our century. And I think he's telling me only thing that we can cure this problem with education.
Mm.
So that's why this movement have schools over 170 countries in the world.
Now, you went to one of those schools,
I believe, in
Turkey.
Second grade.
So a long time ago.
Yes.
But the Turkish president, there was the coup attempt back in, 2016,
July 15.
July 15. And the Turkish president Erdogan blamed the Gulen movement for being behind that coup. And you got swept up in that, correct?
Well, a lot of people don't know that I was with Mr. Gulen that night.
Oh, you were?
Yes. I was in the same room with him.
Wow.
We were just actually talking about it. I was in the same room with him. So...
So you're watching television and watch this unfold.
I wasn't even watching television. Oh. I look at the iPad. I'm like, the people are like, all the Turkish news were saying, like, there's a coup attempt happened in Turkey.
Yeah.
And then I see what Mr. Gulen did. I mean, he was sitting on his chair and praying for his country. And I actually cried that night because over 250 people died that day. And then after the coup attempt, whatever, the President Erdogan came out and blamed on the Gulen movement. I'm like, are you serious? I was just with that guy that night.
Right.
And you cannot just come out and just blame on the guy that I saw with my own eyes what he was doing.
Do you worry for your safety? Do you, you know, I know that you have not participated in some trips, mm-hmm. like with the Knicks, you didn't go to the UK. You were worried about going to Europe, Canada. I mean, this is a big part of your life, and it is a concern.
Well, I mean, I've been working with the, you know, so whenever, like, especially during the season, I'm working with the team security. I actually, when I was in Portland, we sit down with FBI and team security, and I told them about my concerns and everything. Mm. And when I left Portland, I went to a road game. The FBI came to my hotel room, and they set up a thing, and they set up, like, a panic button. They say whenever you feel threatened or you feel uncomfortable, push that button. We'll be there in like 2-3 minutes.
Wow. That's amazing.
It was like a panic button. I always wanted to try. I never tried it. I'm like, man, let me just time them, see if they're going to be here.
Are you worried about what's happening to your family back in Turkey because of what Erdogan has been saying?
Well, I mean, they came to my house 3 years ago and they raided the whole house.
Here in the U.S.?
No, in Turkey. Because my family put a statement out there and they said they disowned me. And because, I mean, they were getting a lot of hate, they were getting a lot of threats, and a lot of my family members got, you know, fired from them. My dad was a genetic professor. He got fired. So they put a statement out there and say, we are disowning NS. And they came to my house, actually. Police came to my house and they raided the whole house and they took every electronics away. Phones away, computers away, laptops away. They wanted to see if I am still in contact with my family or not. And if they would see any email, missed call, text message, and they would be all in trouble.
Are you in contact with them?
No.
And that must be incredibly hard. They disowned you, I would imagine, for their own safety.
Last time I saw them was like 2015.
When was the last time you spoke to them?
Oh, years and years ago.
How hard is that?
It's tough. I mean, like, in the end, I understand I'm, like, doing this for, like, for innocent people. Like, in the end, that is your mom and dad. Of course, you want to be able to talk to them. You want to be able, like, to hear how proud they are. I mean, they cannot even watch my basketball games because they censor all my basketball games in Turkey. Oh. That's a crazy thing. So, like, a lot of the NBA, the Turkish NBA fans gets mad at me. I'm like, what did I do? I mean, I'm just playing basketball, and they are not showing any team that I play for their game. So just because of they want to censor me.
You're public enemy number one. They've made you public enemy number one.
Yes, and I'm like, if you look at what I'm saying, I mean, I love my country. Don't get me wrong. I love my country, my flag, my people. My problem is with the regime in Turkey. And Turkey could be the bridge of modernism and West. But just because of all that stuff going on, it's impossible. And when I talk about these issues, I always talk about the human rights violations, democracy or justice or freedom. I don't talk about all this and other stuff. I talk about like good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I would imagine, just to get back to the point of your parents, they had to say that. Purely that they were able to live in peace.
I mean, they're still not living them alone. It's like if my father like goes out somewhere, if my mom or my sister, whatever. My sister is actually went to medical school for 6 years, and her husband went to medical school for 6 years. Ugh. Now they cannot find a job. Ugh. Under the last name.
Wow.
So they're very worried about this Gulen movement.
Oh, yeah,
or is
they
it
do.
Just a convenient?
It's, well, I mean, not just, well, Gulen movement the most, I think, because like, whenever Erdogan was doing something wrong, this movement, now Erdogan shut it down, everything, like the media outlets, school, dormitories, universities, and whichever group talking against the government or against the regime, Erdogan says, it's a bad guy. This group is a bad guy.
You're the scapegoat.
Turkey,
scapegoat. Exactly.
And Turkey is the number one country in the world that put most journalists in jail, more than China.
How does this come to an end? I mean, how do obviously this is not great for a free democratic society. I mean, Erdogan is dug in now, isn't he? He's in for the long haul.
I mean, he's trying. I mean,
are there such things as free democratic elections?
I mean, I think he's going to, I mean, now he's trying to change rules so he can be there for forever, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, the craziest thing is that you said that he put your name in Interpol.
Yes, he did. So the reason I didn't, so my team, last year, I was actually, when I was playing with the New York Knicks, my team went to London.
Yeah.
And I sit down with my team and talk and say, hey, what should we do? Should I come? You know, they said they didn't want to take the risk. They said, just stay in America, work out here. We're going to give you a workout coach. Just stay here. Mm. Just miss one game. And when actually when my team flight was on the air, they put my name on Interpol.
Oh.
So if I was in that flight, if I landed,
you would have been.
They could have just sent me back to Turkey.
Wow.
From London, and that's why right now it's so hard for me to leave America because I'm not an American citizen. I don't have an American passport, and they could just literally send me everywhere. Even like senators and congressmen, they told me, stay in America, don't go anywhere.
You should be eligible for a citizenship by now, should you not?
Yes, I'm actually, I have 2 years left.
Okay, good.
So when I'm going to become an American citizen, 2021, June 15th.
Fantastic.
Wow. Oh my God, you have no idea how excited I am.
Then you have a home. And, you know, looking beyond basketball, Ennis, what do you see yourself doing?
After basketball?
Yeah.
Ooh,
but you don't want to think about that.
It's going to sound weird. I'm actually going to become a WWE wrestler.
No.
Oh, no way.
I swear.
Hey, huge crowds and very popular.
Sold out in the Meadowlands.
Yeah, so just because of like I couldn't get to play college basketball, right? So I was just like that was actually my hobby. So I just like went to like a lot of wrestling matches. I'm actually talking to like some of the people already.
Are you really?
And they're like, let's go, let's do it. I'm like, I gotta finish basketball.
Yeah. Wow.
I gotta finish basketball. So I'm very excited about that.
Oh, you are a pure entertainer, aren't you? You love to perform.
Yeah, it's fun, you know, because, I mean, I love to lift, and I love to, you know, and just go out there and just have fun.
Have you thought about what character you might be in wrestling?
I'm still thinking about
because that's important.
Yeah,
to get the right name.
Some people
and the
are
look.
Saying, like, Turkish Delight for the name. I don't know. Like this.
I love it. Turkish Delight, by the way, is a chocolate. It's a very popular chocolate in England.
Oh,
It's fabulous. Yes, yes.
Oh, that would be cool. So I want to ask you about. Back to basketball, I want to ask you this. Because whenever I watch a sports show, they make it out as if the NBA and basketball players are so close. It's this close-knit group of guys in the whole league. Players talks amongst themselves to decide who's going to go to what team and all that kind of stuff. Does that exist? Does that happen?
Yes. I think, you know, like... I think players recruit the other players.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, like when Kevin Durant went to Warriors,
right?
You know, Draymond Green and Steph Curry was recruiting him.
Yeah.
Or like Paul George just went to Clippers and Kawhi was recruiting him.
But are those isolated cases, or do you think this happens every day? Are you out there calling guys saying, "Hey, next year I'm gonna be a free agent," or "You're gonna be a free agent"?
You cannot go like that far. A year is too long. But like one of the reasons I signed with Boston Celtics because Kemba called me. Kemba was like, "Let's go. Are we doing this?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure, I'll come."
Were you close with him before that?
I never talked to him. He was in my draft class.
Yeah, yeah.
But I never really. He was not even my friend. I mean, he was like
an
enemy.
You guys have met.
Yeah. So he didn't call me from his phone. Uh-huh. He didn't want to give me his phone number, I guess. First.
Yeah, just in case he said no.
Yeah. So he called me from the Danny Ainge. You guys know Danny Ainge.
Oh,
so
who Danny doesn't Ainge remember is, Danny
yeah.
Ainge?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he called me from Danny Ainge's phone. I pick up. It was like there was like a deeper voice. I'm like, who's this? He's like, oh, this is Kemba, man. You know, we want you in Boston. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll come.
He respected the game. That's pretty cool.
Love it. Well, listen, we wish you the very best of luck in Boston, Ennis.
Thank you so much.
You've had quite a life, and you got so much more to go. And I can't wait for the wrestling.
I know.
But I don't want to. We don't need to rush your NBA career. You've got a ways to go.
I got six more years. My knees
six
can
more,
take it.
Right.
At the least.
At the very least.
You can go to Germany like Kobe did and do whatever he did to his knees. You can get another 6 years out
PRP.
Of it.
PRP.
There you go.
PRP.
You have 12
we
years.
We can rebuild you.
Perfect.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much. Ennis
Cantor
joining us. What a great guy. And stay safe, for sure.
Yes, I'm going to definitely try.
All right. We'll stay in touch with you, and best of luck in
Boston.
And thank you for joining us. We'll see you back here next time.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.